Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Ooh. You find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Glory of the risen King, Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. In a moment, we'll be reading verses 7 through 18. John 10, verse 7, we'll begin in just a moment. Last week, we looked at the first six verses of this passage, and in it, Jesus gave an illustration trying to describe himself and his messiahship and the relationship that he desired to have with people as a shepherd with his sheep, something the people of his day would have been very familiar with. Interestingly, if you look there at verse 6, it says, Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So, we see in verse 7, he makes another run at it. It's really what it says, because it says, so, since they did not understand what he was telling them, so, Jesus said. And that's what we're going to pick up. And what we're going to see Jesus describing to the people that are there. And this crowd that is assembled, the people that are hearing this, are his disciples. They are the Pharisees. They are people who agree with him. They are people who disagree with him. There are people who don't know what Jesus is. And they're confused. They're struggling. Is he the Messiah? Is he not? Is he a rabbi? Is he just a crazy carpenter's kid? I mean, who is this guy and what's he about? And so now Jesus makes another run at trying to describe and draw a picture for these people to understand who he really is. Now, these events are starting to come toward the end of his ministry. He has been in ministry for a while. In Jerusalem, his name is well known. There are many people who have embraced him as Messiah. There are others who have rejected that and are opposed to him. And we really see from this point forward an unfolding of events that ultimately lead to that week that we call the Holy Week, or the week after the triumphal entry of the ultimate crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. But what Jesus wants us to understand, and what I want us to look at in this particular excerpt today, is the Jesus speaking of his voice. Not just speaking with his voice, but what happens when we hear the voice of Jesus. How important is that? When you speak to a non-believer about the voice of Jesus, they don't really know what we're talking about. Sometimes they think we're talking about some kind of psychological disruption in the synapses of our brains and all those other things, and we're just kind of hearing voices in the backs of our heads and that kind of thing. But I am here to submit to you, and this is what Jesus is describing here to us, that the voice of Jesus is much deeper than that. And when I say deeper, I don't mean deeper than that. I mean it is deeper within us. It speaks to us in the root of our being and comes to us to guide our lives. Because we understand and we talk about Jesus loving us, but not only does Jesus love us, but Jesus is invested in us, and he invests in us. And just as we as parents, as we invest in our children, and they hear our voices, and they learn to recognize our voices, and if we invest in the correct ways, they learn to trust our voices. We also can hear the voice of God, and we can hear the voice of Jesus, and we can learn to recognize it, and we can also find the value that comes from responding to that voice, trusting that voice, and walking with him. Let's read about this together now in John 10, 7 through 18. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches them and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. And as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. And this is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life, so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Now here again, Jesus is trying to get over to these folks what he means by I am the good shepherd and I am the protector and the provider. What does this mean? Well, first he talks about his voice and he speaks with his voice. And what he describes in his voice is that the shepherd's voice will lead his sheep to safety and to abundance. Look at verses 9 and 10. I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Now this is Jesus describing his purpose and his ministry. He is describing for us his intended relationship with us and what he intends for that relationship to have and to do and to provide. And in the earlier passage, he talks about that sheepfold, that sheep pen, that place of security and protection that only has one door and only one way in and one place in which the sheep can find the protection and the safety from the outside forces that would destroy them, and also find safety from their own foolishness. I mean, let's face it, sheep ain't the brightest animals in the whole wide world. They will go walking off and they'll destroy themselves. And so the shepherd would put the sheep into the sheepfold, into the sheep pen at night to protect them from the wolf, from the bear, and from themselves. And then at the appropriate time, the shepherd takes them through the door out and they find pasture and they find water and they find safety and they find security. And this is exactly what Jesus offers. We live in a fallen world. At one point in all of our lives, we either have been or we are fallen beings. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is true for you. That is true for me. There was a time in my life I lived separated from him, and I was not his child. But yet, Jesus loved me. And Jesus came, and he brought me back. And he says, I want to supply forgiveness for you. I am going to shed my blood. My blood is going to atone for your sin. I am going to be that big church word, propitiation. The only place we ever use it. I love to use it because don't say it anywhere else. I am the payment for you. And I am going to be that for you. I'm going to pay your penalty. You are no longer under the curse because I am going to be cursed on your behalf. And Jesus says, when he says, you will be saved, that is exactly what it means. Now, I get so frustrated with the world. They use that terminology in derision. You hear the secular world trying to imitate or emulate evangelical Christianity on television or by some other media, and they will use that term and they'll say, well, we hope that we're saved, and they'll use all kinds of inflections and it's points of derision. But I tell you, let me ask you a question. What's wrong with being saved? Well, if I'm out in the ocean and I don't have a boat or a life jacket, I want to be saved. I want someone to save me. And in the truth and in the ocean of life, in the ocean of sin, we are all out there drowning. And we need salvation. We need a Savior. And Jesus is that lifeguard. He is that one who comes and with his own life and his own sacrifice and with the power and the miracle of the resurrection, he comes and he brings us into salvation. He saves our souls. And that is a profound and a great truth that God supernaturally provides only through his Son. And that's what Jesus means when he says, I am the door. Those sheep pens, those sheep folds, they only have one door. They only have one way in or one way out. And the shepherd is the guard of that. And he says, I am the door. There is no other way. You know what he says later in John 14 when Thomas asked him, how do we know the way that you're going? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And Jesus says, I will take you to salvation. Not only will I take you to salvation, but I'm going to lead you to abundance. Now, our world, again, often misconstrues that and abuses that concept. And they have this idea, and sometimes preachers preach that if you're a Christian, God wants you to be rich. Now, God's not opposed to wealth and success in the world, but when he talks about abundance, he's talking about more than stuff. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, don't store up treasures on earth. He says, moth and rust is going to corrupt those things and destroy them. He says, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And the treasure in heaven's Jesus. The treasure in heaven is eternity. The treasure in heaven is the glory of the presence of God that we get to enjoy forever. And that's the power and the authority, and he gives us abundant life. Living the Christian life is good. It is cool. It is, in my day and time as a youth, it is groovy. It has all of those things. Now, I didn't talk like that when I was that age, but my friends did. The truth of the matter is there is no greater abundance in this life than walking with Jesus, than hearing the voice of the Master, and to know His protection and to respond to that and enter into His protection and then be led out by Him into abundance. See, that's the thing. We can't live in abundance if we stay in the sheep pen. There's not abundance in the sheep pen, but the shepherd doesn't keep us there. He leads us out the door and He guides us and He leads us and He calls us. Now, He's a shepherd, not a cowboy. He doesn't drive us, but He leads us. And we hear His voice and we recognize His voice and we trust His voice. And when we get to where His voice is in our lives, when we are obedient to Him and we trust Him, we're going to look around and we're going to be in abundance. We're going to be in green pasture. We're going to have still water. We're going to have the protection. Not that bad things don't happen. Not that Christians don't get sick. Not that we aren't disappointed, that we don't have struggles in our life just like everybody else. But the good thing, when we have struggles, we have the Good Shepherd. We are in His fold. And He is there to watch over us and to keep us in abundance. If you want to live an abundant life, if you want to live a full life, if you want to live a life where there's a lot of grinning going on and a lot of happiness going on, there is no other way to have that apart from Jesus. And then the stuff just sort of takes care of itself. That is the invitation. That is the promise. And that is the power and the place where the voice will lead His sheep if His sheep will follow Him. The shepherd's voice also exhibits how He values His sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Now, not long after Jesus taught this, He did this. This is not just a word picture. This is not just a semantical saying. This is not just an illustration, but this is a prophetic statement coming from the voice of Jesus saying, I am going to lay down my life. He knew there was a cross in His near future. He knew that within a few months after the time He gave this teaching to this group of people, that He was going to be led out down through the streets of Jerusalem and hung on a cross at a place called Calvary. He knew that. He was aware of that. He was preparing His life and His heart and trying to prepare His disciples for this. And He says, the good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. A reality in the agricultural world. Reality in the place and the people who could have and control and live with livestock. Livestock is valuable. I grew up on a dairy farm. I talk about that quite a bit. And as I was growing up on that dairy farm, you know, we had 50 to 60 Jersey cows on the farm at all times. And every one of those cows was of tremendous value. My father cared for those cows, and he made sure the rest of us cared for the cows. And all, in full disclosure, my dad loved those cows more than I did. But I feared my dad more than the other side of that. But you know the reason Dad loved those cows? Because those cows fed his family. Those cows paid our bills. Those cows put shoes on my feet when I went to school. Those cows were the means of our livelihood. And that is what he means. That's what he's talking about here, the shepherd. The shepherd loves his sheep because they're valuable. They have personal value, intrinsic value. And they will be carefully cared for and they will be watched over. And Jesus says, and this is what His voice tells us, and this is what His life gave evidence of. I love you so much that when the time comes, I'm going to lay down my life for you. When the time came, my dad would sit up all night nursing a Jersey cow back to health so she could produce milk for the family again. He'd stay up all night. Didn't do it often, but when the time came, He did that. When the time came, Jesus went to a cross. When the time came, He was laid in a tomb. When the time came, the power of God quickened Him from the dead, and the power of resurrection came forward. But Jesus loves us that much, and the voice of God shows us that. The voice of Jesus tells us that. Understand, yes, in a general sense, Jesus died for all of humanity. In a general sense, He died for the church, for all who would believe through the ages. But in a personal sense, Jesus died for you. You can take your name and you can place it in there. And if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can understand that when Jesus calls His sheep, He calls you. He calls you by name. He calls you individually. He doesn't save groups of people. He doesn't save Southern Baptist. He doesn't save this group or that group. He saves individuals. He saves us when we come to know Him. And when Jesus calls us, He calls us by name. And you say, well, how in the world can He keep up with so many? It's how He's God. It's supernatural. It's beyond us. He's greater than we are. And so the truth and the reality is that His voice gives and exhibits how special you are. One of the struggles of our society is that so many people have low self-esteem. They just don't think they're worth anything. They don't think they can achieve anything. They don't think they can. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. My mama didn't kiss me enough when I was little and all different sorts of reasons. Actually, my mama kissed me too much when I was little, but I was an illustration. All these different kinds of things going on, all these psychological and sociological reasons that there's low self-esteem. But let me tell you, if you're struggling with that today, you're important. You're important to God. You're important enough to God for His Son to die on your behalf, to be the atonement for your sin, to pay the penalty for you. Why? Because He wants you to live with Him forever. And when He says that, that's a very personal statement. And when we hear the voice of God, He speaks to us personally and individually. And the price that He paid was for you. And you are that valuable to Him. And the voice of God gives evidence of that, because He speaks to you and for you. And then ultimately, we see that as we respond to the voice of the shepherd, it will bring us close to Him. Look at verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. That verse 14, a little quick aside here, was one of the targets in our SWAT teaching on Wednesday night. And one of the little preschoolers, when he learned that verse and he quoted it to get his target, what he quoted was, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and they know nothing. And we gave him his appropriate award. But what Jesus actually tells us is, I know them and they know me. Why do we know Him? Because we know His voice. Because every time we've come and responded and followed the voice of our shepherd, He has taken us to a green pasture. He has carried us to a place of safety. He has put His arms around us. And He has dried our tears. And He's kissed our boo-boos. And He's seen to our needs. He is a loving Father. He is a gracious God. And He is calling His voice. And He is calling us. And He's saying, get out of the muck and the mire of humanity. Leave the garbage of your sin behind and come to this place. I am your good shepherd. I have laid down my life. I have provided a means for your salvation, your security, and your abundance. Won't you come with me? And you see, when the sheep are close to the shepherd, they are in the place of abundance. They are in the place where they are achieving the goals that the shepherd has for those sheep. And they are finding that green pasture and that still water. And He says, and understand what He's telling us here. This is a profound, profound statement. As my sheep know, hear my voice, they know me. I know them and they know me. Just as I know the Father and He knows me. So if you extrapolate that into its logical conclusion and you follow that line, Jesus says, if my sheep hear my voice and they come and they get close to me and they get as close to me as they can, and the closer they get to me, the better off they are, the better they will know me and the better they will know my Father, because I and my Father are one. and my sheep know me, and I know them just in the same manner, just like I know the Father and He knows me. The relationship is bound. The relationship is cemented. It cannot be separated. And this is what we are invited to. This is what Jesus was inviting this group of people, both His disciples and those who opposed Him, to come and understand this day as He was giving this teaching. And what He is saying is, won't you be my sheep? Won't you hear my voice? Won't you trust my voice? Now, there's a lot of other voices out there, but none of them sound like the shepherd, not the good shepherd. They try to imitate Him. They try to tempt with other things. But the truth of the matter is when we hear the voice of the shepherd, it is incumbent upon us to go to where He is. He is at the throne of God. He is in the abundance of the Father. And this is what He offers to you and to me today. Just as He offered it to His disciples, just as He offered it to those who were His enemies, He offers it to us. How are we going to receive it? If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made that initial decision of your will to open your heart and to receive Him and to begin your journey with Him, perhaps today is the day. Maybe today is the day of your salvation. You're tired of trying to tread water out there in that endless ocean of confusion and destruction. And you need a Savior. If you call out, the Savior will come to you today. Now, if you have received Christ as Savior, if you are a part of one of His children, if you're one of His sheep, then won't you as a sheep just say, it's really not too smart of me to go anywhere other than the voice of where my shepherd leads me. Maybe God is calling you to just get closer to Him. Maybe there are more specific directions that God is giving you. I don't know that. Only you can understand that. But as the Spirit speaks to you, won't you take this moment just to commit within yourself that as His child, as His possession, I want to walk close to You every day and live in His abundance.